Good morrow, and welcome back to the realm. I am epic fantasy author JB Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe, and for those of you marking your first adventure into the realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis, and each of those creatives specialize in a different art form. And tonight we have a fellow speculative fiction author on here, Kathy Korn, and we'll get to her in a few seconds. As always, if you like what you hear, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com, or you can follow me at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter/X, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or look for me just as JV Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. So as we reach our witching hour tonight, I want to thank our longtime sponsor, Altered Reality Magazine. If you haven't checked it out, and you're a fan of speculative fiction, you're going to love it. Go to www.alteredrealitymag.com, where you'll find everything from sci-fi to fantasy to dystopian to horror to the gothic to cryptids and monsters and things like that. We even have speculative poetry. We've had guests on here, and as crazy as this sounds, horror poets. I didn't think that was a thing, and it's great. And they are a really, really a cool group of folks. And we've had some of them on the show. So go check it out at Altered Reality Magazine. And today we are going to be chronicling the adventures of fellow speculative fiction scribe, Kathy Korn. Kathy, well met and welcome to the realm.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And thanks for coming on. Tell our listeners a little bit about you and the kind of stuff that you write.
Okay. Well, I've been in the healing arts for a long time. I worked as a registered nurse in critical care, and then I became a massage therapist, and I worked in downtown Pittsburgh at the Rivers Club, and I did energy work as a Reiki master and a craniosacral therapist. And therefore, my written works are also designed to heal. It's just my... What I do is I help with healing, and I believe that there is power in our stories and that our stories are important and that the stories we read are important. And I know that fiction, and I'm sure, Joe, you would agree with this, fiction can often give us ideas about how to live our lives and what to do next. I write supernatural, beyond time, mysteries. I have a couple of those. And then I have an adult series about a bookstore manager who works with the fairies to help them with different missions. And she travels all over the world and has adventures and finds true love. She finds romance and adventure.
Oh, you know what I found interesting about your work is when we first met, we actually met at a library fair here locally. We're both Pittsburgh based authors, and you've combined a variety of genres together, and you've done it successfully. You've got the supernatural. You also have been able to kind of feather into all this stuff, romance, as well as what you've described earlier as a mystery novel set. And I think it also bleeds into a little bit of the suspense side too. Where did you get the idea of taking these three, aligned genres and smashing them together and creating a pretty successful, core group of novels for yourself?
Well, I have studied the metaphysical arts for years and years, and I'm all about the woo. It fascinates me. It's what lights me up. And so that's the supernatural element of my books. And also, I had written a couple books. One of them was about a woman who worked with the angels. So that one I haven't published because it needs too much work. But anyway, I thought, well, I'm going to write one about the fairies. And I didn't believe in fairies. But before I finished the first draft of that novel, I saw them. My husband and I, we lived in a townhouse, and we saw them out by the trees at dusk. It was a tween time and a tween place. So, and you got to have romance. It just spices everything up.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your experience, because, I think that what you do often is on the healing side of what you mentioned before. You find a lot of that scattered throughout your books, obviously, and the messages are there too. But this experience with the fairies, a lot of folks, when they hear the term fairy, they think fairy tale, or they think something that's medieval or even earlier than medieval. But, you know, there's also a group of folks that look at it very religiously, like and have, you know, levels of connectivity to the fae in the very various fae realms that are out there. I have a longtime friend of mine, Danielle Orsino, who writes her Herbalt novels are all fae novels. And she features things like dragons and other things like that as part of it too. But Danny's been really good at following what I would describe as her own style, bringing a different spin to fae creatures. How have you addressed that, not only in the novels, but it sounds to me like, you know, the experiences you've had in real life, have you embedded any of those experiences into the novels as well, or will you?
Some of it, yes, has been in there, but my depiction of the fairies is based more on the, there are people who believe that there is a race of fairy beings. They call them the Shi. It's spelled S-I-D-H-E. And so my rendition is closer to that race of beings than, so many times fairies are maligned in fiction. They're always evil and they're manipulative and all that. But what I write about is more based on a race of beings who would like to connect with us. The story is we were together at one point, and then we got disconnected. Humans came into the physical world. The fairies are still energetic. They're energetic beings. So that's sort of the direction I'm coming from.
Have you had to do research as an author? Have you done research on this and embedded that into the novels, or is this something that you've had an interest in throughout your life, or is this something that just one of those experiences where you've seen them have inspired you to write about?
It's something that you believe in when you're a child, and then the adults tell you that it's not real. And the people who are closest to the fairies are the people who love animals, who love nature, who love to be outside. So I'm not sure if I answered your question or not.
No, I get it. I mean, it sounds to me like you're outdoorsy, and it's something that you've had an interest in your entire life. And I think that answers it very well.
And I've studied with people. I've listened to teleseminars, people talking about the fairy beings, and I've studied with online mentors mostly to get the information. Plus, when I write, I bring through information, stuff that I didn't know before.
Well, tell me about this, because, you know, your fairy series, Blue Moon Over Madagascar, that's a series, right? And Murder Through the Looking Glass is a standalone.
Right.
Have you as an author enjoyed writing the standalone novels more, or do you like writing the series more, and why?
Oh, I like them both. All of my novels are set in Pittsburgh, and Murder Through the Looking Glass is actually based on a pair of houses in Crafton, two Victorians that sit up on a hill. It's a real, but I haven't been inside them. But I like writing a series because you have your characters and you just go on and on. You know that because you write series.
Mm-hmm.
So I like both, but there's something special about writing a series because you get to go on with the story and you get to spend more time with the characters.
And, you know, have you, you know, I was reading some of your reviews on Amazon. And authors use them as tools. They're various things. Sometimes they're motivation when you get one that isn't a good one. Others are motivation when you get a great one. Has there been a review on one or all of your books by a certain, you know, reader that has motivated you, or something that's, you know, you've been able to take back, glean something from, learn from? And the reason I ask that question is that a lot of our listeners are also authors. And I always like to try to give them advice as we go through this. I mean, do you spend time, you know, looking over them and learning from them, using them as constructive criticism, and or, you know, a lot of your reviews are pretty good. You know what I mean? Do you use them as motivation to get up and write more?
I like the really bad reviews are usually funny, although I don't always take them that way, you know, the first time around. But yeah, mostly my reviews are pretty good. I would get that in the beta stage or from my critique partners, you know, the kind of information I need to make changes. So when it gets to the point where it's published, usually it's pretty much there.
Yeah, and staying on that theme too, we have a, you know, as I mentioned, a lot of the folks here are in the public, you know, they're looking to publish their works. Have you, did you, when you decided to be an independent author, or you decided that, you know, you wanted to be a traditionally published author, when you made that decision, what were the factors that you contemplated as part of that, that, you know, you went into deciding the direction you took, and are you happy with it?
Well, I went to writers conferences. There's a pen writers conference around Pittsburgh, and I would talk to editors and publishers, and sometimes I would come home and cry. And it's not that easy to be traditionally published, as far as I know. And I got to the point where I thought, well, I'd like to have some fun with these books before I die. So I went ahead and published, and I've enjoyed it. I've had so much fun. You can take your print books to events such as the one I met you at, Joe, at the,
that's right,
the library, and you get to meet other authors and talk to them. And I've just had the best time. I've had books bought by bookstores, and it's just been a lot of fun.
So do you find yourself placing you as one of your characters in the books? I noticed, obviously, you and I are bibliophiles. We ran into each other at a library selling our stuff, but one of your main characters in Blue Moon, of course, is a bookstore manager. Is that something you've done in the background in your past, or is that something you aspire to be one day, or is this sort of like a romantic thing? I'm the same way. I grew up, my first job, you know, actually my second job in high school was at B. Dalton Booksellers. And then when I was in college, my work study was at the library. So I've always been in and around books my entire life. I knew that I would be a writer one day. Is that the same thing for you? I mean, it sounds like you come from this healthcare background, but, you know, do you find yourself kind of like romantically falling into this character that you're writing that's a bookstore manager?
It just happened. Yeah. I don't really aspire to, but like you, I've been around books all my life, and books have been such a help with my life, you know, helping you to through difficult times or just to enjoy. And I think there's so much to learn from fiction. There's a lot of truth in fiction, even fantasy fiction. You know, maybe when you write your books, Joe, you're accessing another realm. I don't know what you think about it, but I think it's possible.
Well, I have a fun quote about that. There's a woman, her name is Chelsea Rice, and I've read Chelsea's book. She has about 10 novels or so. And as I was reading them, I asked her about where she got her characters from. And she's like, well, they just live in my head. And if I don't, you know, if I don't write, they're just too loud. You know, basically they, you know, they're there, and she's just giving them a voice. Like, they live in her head. And I think what you're in, to some degree, right. I mean, at the far extreme, someone will say, well, there's a multiverse, and, you know, somewhere there could be this, and you're accessing a different realm. And then more simplistically, you know, we all have creative juices in us, you know, and, you know, some of us can access that in different ways. And I think through literature and the kind of writing we do, you know, as goofy as this is going to sound, a lot of them are inspired by my role playing Dungeons and Dragons games, you know, like where people bring characters to you, or you're dungeon mastering them as part of the adventure that you're taking your character, you know, your friends through, and you see that what works, right? And how they, you know, and which characters are good, which characters have the best responses from the players, and then you try to adapt that over into, you know, for your readership. And I think the same thing happens in a lot of these cases where you get imaginative, very creative people like you that can take this stuff. And, you know, I have to ask this question because you brought it up early and I want you to have spent some time on this. You're in what many people would describe as non-traditional medicine, but it's historically traditional medicine and stuff. Could you tell us a little bit about the kind of stuff that you do professionally, and then, you know, how that might have been manifested in some of your characters?
Well, I did hands-on healing, and I worked mainstream medicine first as a registered nurse, and then I kind of got to, I could see where it would take you so far, but then you needed help. And then I developed my own health problems, and a lot of the alternative people that I've met, mostly on the internet, they have their story about how they crashed and burned and they couldn't get help, so they had to figure it out themselves. So my affinity to alternative healing is because I had to heal myself. You know, I had to find other answers. And well, in one of my novels, it's called The Witch's Lost Love. It deals with, she joins a group of Wiccans, but they're the ones that were called the witches. They're the ones who were burned and tortured, but they were just the village healers. They used herbs. They understood. They were lived close to the earth. They understood the phases of the moon. So, and a psychic once told me that I was an herb healer in Ireland. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I have a great deal of respect for the kind of stuff you do. My mom was a nurse for patients with Alzheimer's for a number of years. And there's a calling for that kind of stuff, but she did the same stuff. And I've been able to use some of those experiences for my books. Like I use Wiccan language and Wiccan healing. There's a healer that I feature in one of my books who, you know, slippery elm bark. Like if you ask anybody what that is, and it's real. And you know, you're sore instead of popping ibuprofen.
Yeah.
So, and I think that adds something to it because, you know, our ancestors, like it or not, had to find solutions because there wasn't a pharmaceutical industry that could make custom drugs for every ailment. And that's how they did it. And, you know, and my mom employed a lot of that stuff for folks over the years. And so I'm glad to see that you've been able to kind of to work that in. Tell our listeners a little bit about your work in progress. What do you have going on now? What, if they're going to read your stuff, what's next on the docket for you to complete?
Okay. Well, first I just want to mention, I have written a children's series, about a little girl and her rabbit who connect with a fairy girl in the fairy realm. And the two girls are charged with a mission to reconnect the ancient races of human and fairy. It's for early middle grade ages 7 through 10, and she's about 11. So the 11-year-olds are going to save the world. I just wanted to mention that. But the book I just finished writing the first draft of a novel, and I don't have the title for sure, something like Secrets of the Fairy Worlds. But it's about time travel and space travel, about a woman who swaps places with a fairy woman in 1624 and lands in a castle realm and meets a man, and it just goes on and on. I've never written anything like it before.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading that because as you and I talked off the air, that's right in my wheelhouse. So whenever that's done, you got to let me know. I'll be a beta reader for that and help you out.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Well, look, we're coming to the end of our time, and I do this with all of our guests. I run you through a quick lightning round. I ask you some fun questions, hoping to get, you know, solicit some fun answers back, and we're going to have some fun. They're designed to be fast, but if you say something that's funny or takes me off topic, we're going to stop and go a little deeper on it. But are you ready to go ahead and play?
Okay, I'll try, Joe. I'll try anything once.
Well, there's no pressure here. Trust me, you're fine. But okay. So the first, I'll start you off with a softball. So a lot of our listeners, as I mentioned earlier, are in the literature game. They're either big time readers or they're authors themselves. So if you could offer some piece of advice to our author listeners here, what is the best money as an indie author that you've ever spent and why?
Well, have you guys ever heard of Balboa Press?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the self-publishing of Hay House. Hay House is a spiritual publishing house, and Balboa is the self-publishing. So I paid $3,000 because they said they were going to help me market to get my book published. And it got me moving. It got everything, all the gears moving and everything happening. Not only that novel, but a whole bunch of others. It just got everything started for me.
Well, that's a good piece of advice then. And let me invert that question. What's the worst money you've ever spent on something that just didn't work out?
Well, it worked out, but it's the same thing. I spent $3,000. If I'd known better, you could get published. Okay, it gave me the kick in the pants and I got moving, but I could have done it for a lot less money in other ways.
Yeah, so you had to spend the money to learn that you didn't need to spend the money. I got you.
Exactly.
Well said. All right, so let's have a little fun with the next couple of questions. So you're invited to a lunch with one other author, dead or alive. Who would that author be and why would you choose to go to lunch with them?
Mary Stewart. Have you heard of her? She when I was a girl.
Well, I think the Mary Stewart I'm thinking of has to do with England. I'm not sure. I'm on the same page.
Yes. Oh, romance novels. Okay. She wrote romance novels. It was always a 22-year-old girl and she fell in love with her cousin. I'm not sure about that. It was in exotic locations, books like The Moon Spinners and Touch Not the Cat. And so, I think The Moon Spinners was made into a movie. She also wrote novels about Merlin, the Crystal Cave series.
Well, I've got to check that out because Merlin's that's in my wheelhouse as well. So, pretty good.
The fourth novel of my fairy series, Beyond the Fairy Portal, is about Merlin. He comes and tries to seduce the heroine.
Ooh. So. Ooh. Well, that's going to get a little tricky. So, yeah, because my impression of Merlin and others, I'm more like the traditional Arthurian, like the L'Amour Today Auteur kind of stuff. But Merlin's been reimagined many, many, many times. And so it's interesting. I'll see what you do with yours and I'll let you know if I like it or not.
Okay.
So you get a chance to travel and go anywhere in the world. What is your favorite undiscovered spot that you could recommend to folks? And it doesn't have to be anything crazy like, hey, Eiffel Tower in Paris. It could be just something fun. What's your favorite spot to visit and why?
Well, right off the hand, I'd say the island of Hawaii.
Not a bad choice.
Because I tell you what, I feel at home when I'm there. And I write about it in some of my stories about the Hawaii, because I've been there 4 or 5 times. And I just feel at home there. I feel rock solid. Maybe it's because of the volcanic rock there. I just feel so grounded. And the last time I was there, we had these spiritual adventures. We'd meet, run into people. And there's a place where they have these singing bowls. I met a guy with a photo studio and he did pictures too, and he seemed to be some kind of kahuna. We hung out with him and talked to him for about an hour, and when I left, everything was beautiful. Old rusty things, everything I saw, that was the gift. It wore off after a while, but you know, so it was just it was a good time.
Well, look, you picked a spot that most people wouldn't mind picking. So I think that's a safe answer. Last question before I let you go. There's a library and it's on fire. And you rush in and you can only save one book and that book can't be one of yours. What book do you grab and why?
Oh dear. I wouldn't go back.
Save the best for last, right?
I wouldn't go back in after a book, Joe. I'd go to another library to find it.
Oh, that's a cop-out. Boo. Boo. It's a smart answer. I'll give you that. It's a smart answer. So I'll let it stand. Well, look, thank you very much for coming on The Realm. We appreciate that. Before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find your books and how they might be able to follow you on social media.
Yes. You can go to my website, KathyAKorn.com, and that'll connect you. I'm on Amazon. I have an author page there, and I'm on Facebook, Kathy A. Korn Writer. I'm on Twitter, X, or whatever it is, as well. So
great. And Kathy, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. It's been a real pleasure. It's nice to reconnect after our chance meeting at the library sale. And to our followers out there, thanks again for lending us your ear tonight. And until next time, I am always JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.